Blog Talk Radio.
Bulk of the carries, but I think if you got a hot hand,
you go with it. It's like a goalie, you know. Sometimes you got a hot hand, even though he's not the number one guy. Or maybe, you know, you've got two guys that you're not sure who's the number one. You go with the guy that's hot. And it just seemed that Bernard was, or Giovanni Bernard was that guy yesterday.
Right.
I mean, he only had 80 yards rushing. I don't want to say only, but when you look at some of the other guys that had really good games, a guy right across the way in Rawls, T.J. Rawls, yeah, is that his name, T.J.?
T.J. Rawls, the running back.
Nobody even heard of this guy. Guarantee you everybody and their mother's out there trying to pick him up on waivers right now or off free agency, depending on how your fantasy works.
Yeah, I know I am.
Him and Niles Davis, because of what happened with Jamaal Charles. And, of course, you know, if anybody doesn't know, it looks like he did tear his ACL, which is on the other leg. It was, I believe, the left leg in 2011. I think this is the right leg. And I saw that. I saw the replay when that happened.
No contact.
He was trying to make a cut, and you could see that knee did not cut properly, and he just went down.
Yeah, it was ugly.
It was not pretty. But this is football. It is what it is. These guys know what is in store for them in certain situations. And unfortunately for Jamaal Charles, it happened to him this year again. But, again, it wasn't the same knee. I don't know if it's good or if it's bad, but – at least you know that knee is not being compromised multiple times.
Right, exactly. And that's a plus and a minus, if you will, for a running back. And he's still young. So what I'm thinking is with that, and I think Kansas City playoff folks are done. I just do. I don't have any faith
in
them.
I don't think that they're going any.
And
not going
because of the injury. I think because of the loss at home.
No, yeah, you can't lose to the Bears.
No, yeah,
you
right.
You can't. Like, I'm so, again, they're going to have a depleted roster without Ben Roethlisberger, their number one guy. So, for the Chargers, they're thinking, ooh, we've got a shot to become number two in the division right now, going against a team that doesn't have their number one quarterback, the guy that makes everything go. So, I think if you're a Chargers fan, you got to like what you see right now in the West. Obviously, Denver's still there. They won again yesterday with another sick performance by that defense. I mean, how many times can the defense come out and do what they're doing and basically win games for them?
Yeah, I mean, Joe, with your first point, Pittsburgh traveling west.
East-west, even bigger for the San Diego Chargers.
Exactly. So that's huge for them. Plus, they are taking
I got the Chargers in the game.
Yeah, me too. Every time we pick the same team, though, it doesn't work out well for my memory. But
well, maybe we put the kibosh on.
Maybe we do.
Kadoosh on.
but to answer your question, Denver, you know, this team is really prided, and you want to say a classic Super Bowl team is prided on what? Running the football and playing defense.
Yeah.
They haven't been a team who's been able to run the football effectively. So they've been leaning on making sure Peyton Manning makes the right throws and making sure that the defense has a turnover a game. And that's what it seems like that's what happened with them.
With one, they've got like, I feel like they get at least two forced fumbles. And at least an interception with, like, five sacks on top of it, just about every game. There, I've got him on my fantasy squad. Like, I'm telling you right now, it's every single week for this team.
Yeah, they picked up Carr once. He was 26-39 down and interception. Especially with fullback Marcel Reese. But you talk about two lost fumbles and a pick. That's three turnovers.
Right.
So,
you know, you win a turnover battle – and you're definitely going to have a much better shot at winning that game. That's obvious. There is no question. But if you live and die by the turnovers, it's like an NCAA tournament. You try and live and die by that three-point team, that team that can shoot from beyond the arc. And sometimes your team's just off that night. And obviously this isn't a one-and-done situation, but in the playoffs it will be a one-and-done situation.
You want to talk about another 16-10 matchup that's going to involve Denver? Look no further than next week. Denver Broncos travel to Cleveland, where they play the Cleveland Browns. So that's another matchup where you're talking about 16-10, 17-13 kind of matchup. Just make sure you don't line the ball over.
I don't know the way the Browns are playing right now.
Are you shy? Is Baltimore, are they done?
They're done, yeah. I think after yesterday, and they were going back and forth at one point in time, and, you know, give credit to the Browns for sticking with it. Give credit to McCown. I mean, the number one passing day in Browns history. I mean, think about that. You had Otto Graham, Bernie Kosar, multiple other guys on that organization. And for him to have the number one passing day of all time for a Browns quarterback?
Right.
I mean, Josh McCown is, like, rejuvenated on this team. And I think they're behind him now. You know, I think when you look at that team, everybody was kind of like on the fence on whether they wanted him or Johnny Manziel. Who are they going to pick? Who are they going to stick with? I think it's all Josh McCown now from here on out until he proves otherwise or until he gets hurt or if something like that happens, unfortunately. But, you know, I think Johnny Football is going to be riding the bench from here on out if he keeps doing what he's doing. And that's an interesting showdown right now to me.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I wouldn't think that the Browns would win that game just because of what's going on with Denver and their defense. But as far as I'm concerned, you beat a rival in the Ravens, and I don't think you've beaten them before in, like, the last however many matchups, eight games. It was
right.
it was like the Bills going up against the Patriots.
Right, exactly.
You know?
So that not only sparks you for this season, but that sparks you as a franchise going forward because you're saying to yourself, hey, we can beat Baltimore. We can't just not only beat them at home, we beat them on the road against a really good showing offensive.
Right. And that's what I mean. And, you know, they're not doing it with their defense, that Mike Pettine style defense. They're not doing it running the football where you think, oh, he's just going to, you know, let Rex Ryan style, where I'm going to run the football and I'm going to play great defense and then, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to have to make a play or two, but
right.
I think we have a good opportunity to win. They're throwing the football all over the place. And you know, if you're a wide receiver for the Browns, you've got to be pretty capable about that.
Yeah,
I can tell you that. And in the beginning of the year, nobody thought that would happen.
Exactly. Green Bay, St. Louis, my own side, Rams, Packers, just very briefly, only because Packers have been away at home, but they picked off Rodgers twice.
First time since 2013.
I told.
I don't know when the last time he's ever been picked up twice.
I don't know.
I'm just talking first time he's been picked up at home.
I told a good friend of the show, Jason Perron.
Mm-hmm.
I said in text on September 28th. I said Rodgers will throw his first pick at home against St. Louis. You know what his response was? If it's a tip, it doesn't count.
The second one wasn't.
The second one was not.
You still got one out of the two.
That was an impressive feat.
Unfortunate loss for St. Louis. They now drop down to 2-3.
Burley was good. They're still number two in the division.
I was about to say Seattle lost two, and we talked about that. Cincinnati, that come from behind win, which again I think is a signature win that you need for a team like Cincy. But when you're in that division, looking at Seattle, I mean, who's the number one team in that division right now? Arizona, right? That team is so stacked. They just look so
I thought this was the week that Detroit got off the schneid. I said, okay, Detroit's going to win. They really good on Monday night. They were right here against Seattle.
I'm never picking against Arizona.
But, man, Arizona looked flat kind of in the beginning of the game last week against St. Louis. But this week, I'm like, okay, Detroit's at home. I saw them play on Monday night, watched the whole game. I stayed up. Imagine that. And I said, this team looks solid. They run the ball well against Arizona. They're at home. Kelvin Johnson and Matt Stafford we know the rapport that they have with each other. If they can show us glimpses or flashes of that, then they're going to be all right. They ended up sitting Stafford and playing Dan Orlovsky.
Because he looked awful. Like, he was getting booed every single minute that he was in that game. He looked awful. And, I mean, Arizona's a great team, don't get me wrong. But, you know, you can't be a quarterback that's expected to be a number one guy in this league and just look that bad. And he's looked bad almost the whole year. And they're 0-5.
Yeah.
I guarantee you nobody in Detroit thought that team was going to be 0-5.
Yeah.
Not at all. I mean, he couldn't get anything done. Every single time he tried to get anything done, it was getting picked off. He was getting sacked. The defense is very, very underrated. They don't get enough credit, I think, in this league. And, you know, yeah, he had a couple touchdowns, but at the same time, you've got no real pressure from Detroit's defense on a team. Cardinals just went down over and over again, scoring multiple ways, not only on offense, but on defense as well, getting the job done. I think they're just one of the most complete teams when you look at it from top to bottom, which, you know, makes that loss an even bigger aberration.
Right. If you were on planet NORAD or somewhere else, briefly, Colts went on Thursday night. They looked fine. Matt Hasselbeck looked great. Bills, 14.
You've got to give them a little bit more credit than that. Matt Hasselbeck, 40 years old, was sick as a dog on Monday and Tuesday and came in and beat a team that should have had a real big shot at winning that game.
I heard something the other day from, I think it was from ESPN's Skip Bayless, where a question was asked. where they said, where he said, I'm not putting J.J. Watt in my top five because J.J. Watt can't win me 12 games. Is that true?
I'd like to say no, but at the same time, he has a point.
Right.
You know, I'm not a big Skip Bayless fan, but he unfortunately does have points that are correct.
Right.
You know, and he's right. He's not going to win you 12 games. He's just not. And, you know, until they can do something on defense to change that, I mean, he might win you a game or two, you know, but that's going to be about it. I don't see how that's a flawed argument in that respect. But, I mean, J.J. Watt is still a number one defensive player in this league. There's just no doubt about it. And he's still doing very well despite his numbers being a little bit lower than normal.
You really think so? Defensive player of the year this year?
I don't think he will be.
No, yeah, okay, neither. I think it's Justin Houston in Kansas City. That's not
we talked about this last time.
Right.
And I think we need to really look at DeMarcus Ware as a possibility.
Yeah. Bill was 14-13 over Tennessee. You said it was ugly when first you came to my house and said, he could do that.
But back is good now. Ugliest looking win I've ever seen. One of the ugliest wins that I've seen. A lot of bad Bills football. The whole game, I just kept shaking my head. It started right from the kickoff when they had a penalty on the kickoff. And can you believe that this is how this game started? And then it was over and over and over again. Bad penalties here, couldn't get the job done.
There was a penalty that was called where I think it was pass interference.
Corey Graham, to me, they called that. I think they should have because they even said that, and this was Steve Tapp saying that. So,
okay.
You know,
that's what I agree on.
Right. And he did grab him a little bit. I just think the ball might not have gotten there, but either way, he did get grabbed. There was another penalty, that I think it was on Stephon Gilmore, where it was not.
That was the play. I was like, what are you talking about? That was the pass interference for Gilmore.
Or there was another one, too, where the ball was coming in and the safety met right at when the ball came in and he hit him. It was Gilmore. Corey Graham.
I agree with that call, though.
Yeah. That one I don't agree with because he hit him with his shoulder. It just didn't look
good. I think they deemed the receiver to be defensive.
The ball was right there. The ball was actually, he hit the running or the wide receiver right as the ball got there. It's one of those things where I said to myself, that should not have been called. The one previous to that, when they thought it shouldn't be called, should have been called. So there was penalties going back and forth that were just odd things, very ticky-tacky at certain points. But I even said to myself, because I was the only one watching the game, the only reason they called that penalty is because of all the previous penalties that have been called, and they are looking for this team because they know this team is a perennial team that's going to have penalties over and over and over again. I don't think it's one of those things where you can actually say that it didn't matter from the previous couple games. It does. The refs know what's going on from previous games. They know this team's the most penalized team in the league. They're going to be looking for penalties more. There was a couple times where I believe the Bills got away with some stuff too, especially holding calls. There was at least one or two holds where I said, wow, they really should have called that. It was obvious, and they didn't. So, you know, they got away with a couple things. They got a couple penalties against them. They end up winning the game. At the end of the day, you're going to look back and say this was a win no matter what.
Right.
It is what it is. You know, Marvin Williams had a good day. Tyrod Taylor had an awful day except for the last two drives. I'm really hoping that he's a little more healthy going into next week's matchup. I would like to see him get a lot more running done than he has in the past. I think that's what can really open up a defense.
Right.
And that's what I think he needs to do in order to open up that defense.
Yeah, as soon as he makes that, he doesn't read his progressions. He makes that one look, and then if it's pressure coming,
Well, I think he can do that, and I think he can make the progressions, but I think also teams will step back a little bit and not play so tight if they know he can run the football. When he starts to do that,
right,
you're going to see teams back off a little bit, which is going to give him more openings to throw the football down the field. It's just going to create more opportunity for him. So the more he runs, the better off I think he'll be.
Gotcha. Well, hey, they play Cincinnati. We'll see.
I don't know. Cincinnati. Right. I got that. At first, I thought that was going to be a win. I don't know now. Cincinnati has really moved up in my eyes. We talked about the Chicago game. Good job for the Eagles to beat the Saints.
Yeah.
I mean, they finally have started to figure it out on offense now. If they can keep doing what they're doing, that NFC East is wide open.
Right, Giants got the win last night, too, against
they're beating the San
Francisco 49ers, right. Chief, we've got a couple minutes. Top five teams in the NFL. You give your fifth, I'll give my fifth, and then we'll go back and forth.
Oh, man, I got to run it down from, like, what my number one team is and then go down. Let's see. I think I'm going to put Atlanta as my fifth team.
Okay. I am going to put Cincinnati there.
Oh.
But Cincinnati is like 5A.
5A? There is no 5A. It's 5 or not.
Creeping.
Creeper status.
Arizona Cardinals. I think they're at 6. They're not top 5 to me. Whoa, wait a minute. Do I have them on top 5?
I don't see how you don't. You're crazy if you don't.
Okay, I do. My number 5 team is going to be creeping the Giants. They've won, 3 in a row now? Of course, you want this at the tail end of your schedule, but I think 6, you've got to put the Giants top 10. You do it. Well, as well
no, Giants, yeah, the Giants are definitely top 10. There is no doubt about it. They're just not my top 5.
Gotcha. Number 4.
Number 4 for me is going to be Cincinnati. I had them 5 last week. They've moved up now into the number 4 slot.
Yeah, number 4, I am going to go with the Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning did not look great yesterday. I don't remember the last time he played Oakland and didn't throw a touchdown, albeit on the road, and he's almost 40 years old. He still should be able to squeeze one out with Demarius or Emmanuel, and he didn't. So Denver, I don't know, and we brought this up earlier, how long can this defense put them on the winning side of things?
And we'll see. Yeah, they're a lot like Atlanta to me. They're winning very close games, but I just like their defense a little bit better than Atlanta now, and that's why I've got Atlanta here. They're just winning too many close games. You can't be that close to a pretty bad Washington team and not almost win the game. I mean, you just can't, in my opinion. So that's why I've got Atlanta 4. 3, I've got the Broncos at 3.
I like that.
Oh, wait, no. I don't have the Broncos at 3. I've got Arizona at 3. I've got the Broncos out.
Okay, top 5?
I think so. Now that
that's what I was looking at. I'm like, wait a minute.
Because I really like Atlanta. Didn't I have Atlanta then, Cincy? Yeah, I really like Atlanta at 5. I really like Cincy. I think Atlanta's still there, but that's why I'm thinking, how if you have the Giants at 6, who are you leaving out? Because now the Broncos might be out. Because I like Arizona definitely better than I like the Broncos.
So let's do this. Here are the contenders. We've got.
This is why I don't like going 5. I like going number 1 and going down. Because now I got all confused.
Okay.
You got me all confused.
Here's my top 5. Scratch it. Listen. The past 2 minutes, don't worry about it. I'm going to go 5. See, you can give me a 5. Number 5, because you have 14, you have 5 teams on the field. The way you went, Green Bay, Atlanta, Cincy, and Denver.
Right.
My number 5 team will be the Cincinnati Bengals. Number 4 will be the Atlanta Falcons. Number 3.
See, this is what I'm saying, man. This is exactly what I'm saying. I think you got to look at this and say, my gosh, there is a lot of good teams.
Yeah, because I'm looking at Denver, but I'm looking at Arizona. Like, we agree. Who's your number 1?
Yeah.
And then Green Bay?
Yeah.
Okay.
1-2. Then I think I want to go Arizona number 3. I love Arizona. I think they're just phenomenal.
At 3?
Yes. I think they are an awesome, awesome team. And then I'm going to take Cincy at 4, Atlanta at 5, and then Denver's going to be my
favorite. Denver's on the bubble. That's right.
Yeah. And I think only because, like I said earlier, that defense is great, and I'm comparing the same thing, the way they win with Atlanta. But there is something about Denver. Now that I'm thinking about it, you're right. to me, Peyton Manning is that one factor where if I'm going to say I'd rather have Peyton Manning or Matty Ryan, I think I'd rather have Matt Ryan right now with Julio Jones the way that tandem's working.
Right. Can we agree? If Peyton Manning plays like this in December, they're finished.
I don't know if they're finished.
Early January?
It's going to be tough for them to keep winning the way that they're winning, I think, to be honest.
But right, again, I guess really
as still as, it's like, maybe you're right. It's like 5A and 5B. To me, Atlanta and Denver are very, very similar in the way they are winning football games. But I just like a little bit more consistency of the run game from Atlanta, and I think that their defense isn't quite as good as Denver's. But if now that kind of offsets all about quarterback play, I am going to take Atlanta over Denver. Denver's 6.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, Denver might be 6.
See, this is why we got to go from 1 down.
Yeah. I'll go Denver 6. I go 5, Cincy, 4 Atlanta. I go 3 Arizona with you, if you make sense with some of the other teams. I go 2 Green Bay. Although, you can really make the argument that the way Aaron Rodgers played, you can move down a notch for this week and maybe put an Arizona team or where they rebounded or a Cincinnati team.
Yeah, a couple of interceptions, but, you know, St. Louis has a very underrated defense, and I think, you know, it was eventually going to happen at some point that he's going to throw some interceptions.
Right.
It just is what it is.
Got a couple minutes left. Looking ahead, next week, we already talked about Cincinnati-Buffalo. We've got, we already talked Denver-Cleveland. We've got another undefeated team on the road, Atlanta and New Orleans on Thursday. Could that be the game that put someone in their L column?
We'll see. You know, we always talk about these games later in the week if you want. We could. We could always hit us back up again later in the morning. And of course, you can always hear a motorcycle tour.
MSW Sports on Twitter, MSWSports.com, and MSW Sports on Instagram. They like us on Facebook. Or as Bill Belichick says, it's Face Snap or Snap Face.
Snap. Face Chat.
Face Chat. let's just look at you really quickly. Biggest game, obviously, is New England, Andy. This is another
week. As long as Andrew Luck is back.
They just dropped him, so I think
okay, but they did that last week, didn't they?
We may brought that.
Yeah, and so Matt Hasselbeck started again. I mean,
what about Carolina? We haven't even talked
about Carolina. No, Carolina's not.
They're top 2.
They're definitely top 10. They might end up being right after after Denver. If you're
looking after the Giants.
I don't know if I would do that. The Giants are still flawed.
We got the Jets, too. Are the Jets are like not
Jets what they're supposed to do. Let's just say that. They are a 3-1 team, and they have come and they've done what they're supposed to do in this league. And the Bills might be close. Indy's still there. They're still hanging around.
I think the Bills are outside of their
think about this now. I mean, they're 3-2. If you're just going to go by record, if you're just going to look at what their records are, I mean, are you putting Seattle ahead of the Bills?
I am putting.
They have lost some pretty bad games.
I'm putting the Giants over the Bills.
I would put the Giants over the Bills only because they beat
them. Yeah, but I'm also putting the Jets over the Bills. I'm putting. I don't know if I want to put Indy over the Bills just yet, but they're in the conversation.
While the Bills beat Indy, so with Andrew Luck in the field.
I'm putting Minnesota in front of the Bills, only because I like what they have all around. They give me great play at quarterback, running back.
Well, they better beat the Kansas City Chiefs next week. That's all I got to say, if you're going to be putting that out. But either way, there's a game tonight, Monday Night Football. It's in San Diego. We both have San Diego. Any scores?
I am going to go San Diego 27, Pittsburgh 16.
Wow. I think I'm going to go a little bit closer. I think I'm going to go San Diego 31, Pittsburgh 29.
29.
I know there's odd scores out there because of these two-point conversions.
Yeah.
Is that a possible score?
It is.
Okay. So, yeah, I think it's going to be close.
All right.
But I don't think it's going to work, and I think it's going to be a little more high-scoring than you think.
All right, we're close. Again, we'll be back Wednesday, and then we've got a Saturday show, which you can catch on SoundCloud.com. And you can also stream it from your website, MSABSports.com, or from your browser, too. But having said that, we are out of time. So, for TH, Tom Ellis, I'm MM, Michael Matt. It was a pleasure, as always. Thank you for having us. Close us up, baby.
As you know, if you're out and about on this fine Monday evening watching some fine football action, please make sure you're safe. And don't do anything we wouldn't do.
Go Sabres.
born for the road, talking straightforward to hoes. Got Uncle Zach smoking, some put blow up they nose to cope with the lows. The wind is cold and it blows. In they socks and they souls, niggas holding they rolls. Corners leave souls open and closed, hoping for more, with nowhere to go. Niggas rolling in droves, they shoot the wrong way, cause they ain't knowing they goes. The streets ain't safe, cause they ain't knowing the cold. By the foes, I was told, either focus or fold. Got cousins with clothes, hope they open some doors. So we can not close and roll in a road. Now I roll in the O's with windows that don't roll. Down the roads with cars get broken and stole. These are the stories told by Stony and Cottage Grove. The world is cold, the block is hot in the stove. On the corner,
I wish I could keep this feeling. I wish I could keep this feeling. On the corner, niggas robbing, killing, dying. That's the nigga living.
We overrated, we underrated, we educated. The corner was our time when time stood still and gators and snake skins and yellow and pink and all the blue profiles glorifying the
street lights and deep nights. Cats trying to eat right, riding those seat bikes with work to pay.